I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You would respond with the words, watch me.
Watch
Many
me.
American people have been watching, and they have expressed concerns about your age.
That is your judgment. That is your judgment. That is not the judgment of the press.
They express concerns about your mental acuity. They say that you are too old. Mr. President, in December, you told me that you believe there are many other Democrats who could defeat Donald Trump. So why does it have to be you now? What is your answer to that question?
Because I'm the most qualified person in this country to be President of the United States and finish the job I started. I did not share classified information. I did not share it.
With your ghostwriter.
With my ghostwriter. I did not. Guarantee you did not.
What the counsel said.
Well, no, he did not say that. He did not say that.
Well, that was Joe Biden from last Friday, but it's worth hearing again because this controversy isn't going away, and that was the special counsel looking at Joe Biden and his mishandling of classified information. And Joe Biden insists he did not say I mishandled classified information. Yes, sir, he did say that. He just said that no jury or judge would convict you of it because you would appear to be an elderly, frail, forgetful man, and it's just not worth putting you in jail in the final years of your life, basically. But in doing so and adding those remarks, the left looked at it as an attack upon Joe when actually it was giving him an excuse not to be found guilty of mishandling classified material, the very thing they're pushing on Trump. So it's a double-edged sword. And that is why Joe Biden met with the press in an impromptu conference the other day. And again, I don't know if it was his decision or someone else said, hey, we got a victory, let's go out and take it. That is come out and say, I was found not guilty of holding classified material. Well, he couldn't say that, but he could say, they are not going to charge me with holding, mishandling classified material. That is true. But they did find him guilty, or according to the prosecutor, special prosecutor, he did mishandle classified material. And apparently even told one of his biographers writing about him, I've got some classified material here in the house I'll show you, or some words to that effect. The whole storyline means nothing because it came down to the fact that the special prosecutor decided, even though classified material was mishandled, which would be a violation, there's no sense trying to bring charges. Very similar to James Comey making remarks about Hillary Clinton when they said, yes, she improperly used a server when she knows she's not supposed to. She was Secretary of State. She knew nothing was to be transmitted on a private server or on your phone that would be classified material. She claimed she didn't. She said, I had two phones. Well, it still didn't answer the question. But Comey deciding no one would prosecute her because of that indiscretion. That's called also a violation, a federal violation, but not when it's the Clintons. Maybe Comey knows a little bit more than what we think we know about Clinton and the people who go against them. I'm just asking. There you go, Larry, planning another conspiracy theory. Yep, there we go. All right, glad to have you with us here for hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here for you Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And while you're listening, you can also be watching video we stream at News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And if you miss anything, audio or video, and you want to go back and pull it up, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Or you can go to Larry Connors' Facebook. Or you can go to any podcast platform you use. You're going to find it. We make it really easy for you. And when you do listen or go back over something, push share and let others in on the what we're doing here. It's important to them. It's important to you. It's important to the country. Okay? All right, so here was Joe Biden insisting he had not done anything wrong and you were mischaracterizing what the prosecutor said. Well, let's put all that aside for a moment. Immediately after that response and some tirade, and experts in Alzheimer's have told me that it's not uncommon for someone to go from almost docile, sitting in a corner, oblivious to everything, to in-your-face raging for no reason sometimes. I'm not a clinical psychiatrist. I couldn't say one way or the other what was happening. But obviously, some see it as over the top. Well, if you're defending your honor in something you think is wrong, then I can understand that. But that example with some of the other things, especially with the prosecutor saying, basically he's saying he's not competent to stand trial, which means immediately within, is he competent to be in charge of our national security? Texas Congressman Pat Fallon.
It was a really bad week for Joe Biden, and he was already suffering in the polls. He was about 18 points underwater with his favorabilities, and this certainly won't help at all. And the thing is, the White House is trying to spin this, but you can't spin the fact that he's a very old 81. There are some people that are very spry at that age. He's just not one of them. And to forget things like when, and it's very tragic, when his son died, forget the year and not even come close to knowing when that happened. Those are kinds of things that are seared into someone's memory. And not knowing when his vice presidential term began and when it ended. Well, you know what? I never met James Monroe, but I know he was president from 1817 to 1825. So I don't understand, how they can spin this moving forward. President Trump has incredible mental acuity. I do know him, and I have met with him one-on-one and in groups, and he's a very young 70-something. He's 76, 77. He's 77 going on 45, and Joe Biden is 81 going on 100. It would be funny if he was the mayor of a small town or something. I don't know, funny, but it would be certainly something to watch with maybe a little half crooked smile. But he's not. He's the leader of the free world and the president of the United States. So this is the last person we want to have mental acuity problems.
Good points made by Texas Congressman Pat Fallon, but I do have a question. I wonder if he already had looked up when James Monroe was president so he could recite that on the spot. I couldn't recite any other president's term except in fairly recent history. I have sometimes remembering, well, I know, not sometimes, I often forget birthdays of my brother and sisters. Never forget mine. Every May 31st, I'm 55 years old. I remember that. Well, maybe not every May 31st, but close to it. But I don't know if Pat Fallon didn't just kind of go do some research so he could say, I remember, well, of course, never met James Monroe, but I know when he was president. Well, if I look it up, I can tell you. I've always told folks, and this is not just half a truth, it's pretty much full truth. My knowledge runs 100 miles long, really. But in some areas, only a quarter of an inch deep. I'll be honest with you. That's why anytime I was doing an interview with someone, and I was asking a question that involved facts, figures that they didn't have at the tip of their hand, I thought they might, I would tell them, if I ask something like that, just tell me you don't know that, and we'll get it later. I'm not trying to ambush you with it. I mean, if I went up to some, well, let's say I went up to Donald Trump, since he was talking about how great Donald Trump is. I said, if I asked him, what were you doing on November 30th, 1982? You think you'd have an immediate answer? I wouldn't, would you? But state-controlled media is even acknowledging Biden has big difficulties and challenges ahead.
The fact of his age is not something you can rebut. Mm-hmm. If someone says you're too far left, you can tack to the center. The man is 80 years old.
This is becoming a five alarm fire for the White House.
Mexico,
Mexico? Where did that come from? I mean, that's the only thing anyone's going to remember from this.
The problem is this has become a real thing. That is a stubborn problem that is an obstacle to get, in his campaign moving forward.
And Fox has now obtained a letter from New York Congresswoman Claudia Tenney to Attorney General Merrick Garland, calling on the cabinet to explore the use of the Constitution's 25th Amendment to remove President Biden from office, noting grave concerns over the special counsel's account of numerous instances in which, quote, President Biden exhibited dramatically compromised mental faculties and concluded that a jury would be likely to perceive President Biden as a sympathetic and forgetful old man.
And that last part was an analysis by Fox, after hearing some from the state-controlled media, admitting it's a five-alarm fire for the White House. And how did he suddenly jump from PLO getting out of Gaza to opening the gates in Mexico? What the hell does that have to do with it? Nothing. I'm looking at a piece written by Politico, which leans left, and it's titled, Democrats Might Need a Plan B. Here's what it looks like. I would change that headline to say they need a plan B. But here's what they're suggesting, and the writing is from Charlie Matisian and Stephen Shepard for Politico. So far, Democrats have vigorously avoided any discussion of a plan B for their presidential nominee, but special counsel Robert Hur's report may have forced their hand. Fairly or not, his stinging characterizations of Joe Biden as a well-meaning elderly man with poor memory, diminished faculties, has thrust the president's age and mental fitness into the debate. So that puts it back front and center. He said, but plan B, here's how it would work. The truth is a backup strategy can only be deployed if Biden voluntarily steps aside. Good luck with that. Or is physically unable to stand for nomination. And he says, at this moment, despite the anxiety within the party, there is no dispute. Biden is on a glide path to the Democrat nomination. His long-shot rival, Dean Phillips, Congressman Phillips, has warned for months about the risk of nominating Biden, and yet it has yet to gain any traction. And he points out a late-entering white knight candidate. I'm not saying he's referring to Michelle Obama as a white knight candidate, but talking about anybody that would come forward to save the day might be there. But all of this still comes back to how they could get this done and happen soon. And then they could have a battle at the convention. They're not legally required to support the president or anyone he would endorse to replace him on the ticket. So Biden could at the convention nominate someone and see what happens. And Kamala Harris is just waiting in the wings, but her poor approval ratings aren't looking that good either. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is back in the hospital. He had to make an emergency run to the hospital to Walter Reed, a bladder infection subtype, but apparently he's doing better. But Joey Jones, an Afghan veteran for us, lost both legs as he was trying to dismantle an IED. So he speaks as a man who has paid a high price for his country, just short of giving his life. It's changed the way he lives, but still very strong and positive on what he's trying to do. He's an analyst for Fox News, and he was talking about with Lloyd Austin back in the hospital and the interim defense secretary taking over, there's still challenges ahead.
Having sat in a room full of four-star generals, you have to widen the door before they can walk in because there's so much ego and brain trust walking in there. And that's not to be disparaging. That's to say that is a career of 30, 40 years. We've got almost 40 of them in our military. We condense that down to a Joint Chiefs of Staff, to service heads, and it all culminates to the Department of Defense Secretary. And the reason why I bring that up is think about this. President Joe Biden is famous for being against most of the moves that President Obama made in Afghanistan. So if President Obama Obama's sitting there, and his VP is One Direction, who's he going to look at to find the balance on that? This the nuance of the conversation on making big decisions that individuals matter. It's not just plug and play. So if Lloyd Austin is who President Biden has put all his trust and faith in to tell him what our military capabilities are, and he's distracted because he's in pain or sick or hurt, mm-hmm. that matters because the nuance of his answer could determine what Biden decides to do.
Yep, it could decide. So that's still in play. And again, our prayers for Secretary of Defense Austin for what he's going through and his family. Now, of course, we also have an issue with a lot of members of the legislature, on Congress, I should say, both aisles included. You have to ask, have they outlived their usefulness? Some of them recognize it and they go ahead and step away. But others, you darn near had to get the door open and give them a running boost. But Utah Senator Lee says, maybe we need to go another step.
Republican senators are not part of some feudal system. There's nothing personal against any individual in leadership. And yet, we do have to deal with this issue because this is how we alienate our voters. This is how we lose elections that should be won. If we keep doing things through our leadership that end up enacting priorities for the Democrats, we're going to have brand confusion.
Now, by brand confusion, maybe he's talking about the fact that we had McCarthy as House Speaker when this all began, and then Matt Gaetz went to the floor and said, I want to vote a no confidence in him, and sure enough, they ousted him. He only got in there after, what, 13, 14 votes, and Gaetz was the one that finally put him in, but then decided, oh, I don't want him in anyway. So now we've got Congressman Mike Johnson in, but there's already rumblings and ramblings about, nah, he's not that suited either. And then, of course, you saw what happened last week with the House trying to get an impeachment vote of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. That was a stunning failure. This time around, when they try it, it might well work because this time they'll have Majority Leader Steve Scalise from Louisiana back from cancer treatment. And if he votes to impeach Mayorkas, others will probably go along with it. But what is the brand? Who is leading the Republican House? Who is standing up for Republican values, conservative values right now? And who's not willing to bend to Mitch McConnell and the Democrats and Republicans in the Senate that want to give money to Ukraine regardless of what happens with our border? And that includes Republicans in the House that have gotten weak-kneed. We need strong leadership. Now that Scalise is back in the House, you know, he was considered at one time to be the House leader once they were getting rid of McCarthy, but with his cancer treatment, they thought it might not work, and maybe he thought as well that I couldn't be here to serve it effectively. Well, I pray again, he's also in good health, and regardless of what happens, but they may have to go back down that road. And we certainly might find another vote, and this is bad timing. In going into this election year, if we fumble this, it's going to be as sloppy of a game as we saw last night between KC and San Fran. We might win, but it sure looks ugly. But a win is a win. Coming up, what do you think about the Jesus Christ ad during the Super Bowl game last night? A lot of people call it blasphemy. And also coming up, is there evidence that Trump was cheated out of the election last time? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield has some great events coming up this month. Here's one to mark on your calendar. Feb 15, Scott Biancardi from STL Cigars will be hand-rolling smokes right there in front of you. Feb 15, plus Stolock whiskey tasting, all happening at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. I'm often in for a smoke. If I'm there, make a point to introduce yourself. And for more events, follow Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Now, as I was saying, and I'd promoted for you in the previous hour as well. By the way, if you missed the first hour, you missed a great hour. So you can always go back and pull it up as a podcast, audio and or video. Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com. Listen and then share with others. But I alluded then, as I did just before we went to the break, about a study involving Rasmussen Survey Group revealing that maybe there is evidence the election was stolen from Trump by Biden. Rasmussen did a study in combination with the Heartland Institute. Now, Heartland is based in Arlington Heights, Illinois. They list themselves, this is their writing, as one of the world's leading free market think tanks, national nonprofit research education organization, founded in 1984 to discover, develop, promote free market solutions to social and economic problems. Said as an action think tank, as well as a think tank, we measure our success by the impact we have in the real world. Now, I know we've had guests of the Heartland Institute on this station, and I believe on my program from time to time. So I want you to know that up front. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. They have a staff of 27, working with a 7-member board, some 2,000 donors. They have various academic and professional economists serving as policy advisors. And they also offer a chance to respond to any critics if you want, so we can set the record straight. So for those who don't like them and have questions with them, they would appear for the most part be, if you're going to choose a side, more conservative than left. But they did a study along with Rasmussen Survey Group, which you know Rasmussen has been around for a long time on surveys. Now, again, what I'm going to share with you, you can immediately start discounting. And, in fact, I will help you discount it through other sources. Not that I'm trying to, but I'm trying to give you both sides. It appeared in the Epoch Times, a piece I'm reading, and it said a new study examining the likely impact that fraudulent mail-in ballots had in the 2020 election concludes the outcome would, quote, almost certainly, end of quote, have been different without the massive expansion of voting by mail. It says the Heartland Institute study tried to gauge the probable impact that fraudulent mail-in ballots cast for both then-candidate Joe Biden and his opponent, Donald Trump. And again, they're basing it on data that Heartland and Rasmussen put together through a survey in December. And according to them and their survey, it revealed that roughly 1 in 5 mail-in voters, 20%, admitted to potentially fraudulent actions in the presidential election. In fact, they say after the researchers carried out additional analysis of the data, not simply accepting the person's word, but additional analysis, they concluded that mail-in ballot fraud, quote, significantly impacted the 2020 presidential election. And they also found that absent the huge expansion of mail-in ballots, which was often done without legislative approval, Trump most likely would have won. Let me read the exact quote according to the author, the report's authors. This quote, had the 2020 election been conducted like every national election has been over the past two centuries, wherein the vast majority of ballots cast person, I should say of voters, cast ballots in person rather than by mail, Donald Trump would have almost certainly been reelected. Now, I know a lot of us, that mail-in ballot thing, the timing of COVID and a reason that folks too afraid to go stand in line to vote, but more than willing to go to a store or get gas or anything else. And they are estimating more than 43% of the 2020 votes were cast by mail. 43%. More than that. The highest percentage in U.S. history. With COVID in the election, it was a perfect storm, utilized in a large part by Democrats. That's my opinion. They're not stating that. I'm making that statement. In this new study, Heartland analysts say, after they've gone through all their analysis and everything else, they believe they can conclude that 28.2% of those responding who voted by mail committed at least one type of behavior that is, quote, under most circumstances illegal, so potentially amounting to voter fraud, which many have said anyway, but then that makes you an election denier, you get cut off YouTube, Facebook, and everything else, and you're a bad, 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 bad person. Go sit in the corner. If the situation were reversed, if Biden had been in the White House at that time, and he was running for re-election, and COVID hit, and they did this, and then Trump won with 43% of votes cast by mail, Biden people would darn sure be questioning and raising noise over it, rightly so. Not only that, but the amount of days that were allowed and then finding another ballot box here and another one there. The researchers write, this means that more than 1 in 4 ballots cast by mail in 2020 were likely cast fraudulently, therefore should not have been counted. I know, I hear some of you now yelling, but it's too late. Well, it is for that last election, but it should not be for coming up, and we need to get back to being more diligent on both sides. All I want is a free, fair election, as you should. You run the election, your candidate wins or loses because the ballots are counted properly, they're all legitimate. That's the way it goes. Much like the football game last night. Obviously, San Francisco had a lot of supporters. They wanted to win the game. Well, you can't have two winners. You got to a tie, but you still have to break it. But, as I said, there are those on the other side that have a different view. One research fellow, Jack McFerrin, said if you're looking at those who voted by mail, which they can, if they're blind, illiterate, disabled, or require assistance. He said those cases do happen, but they're within the margin of error, not statistically significant. They analyzed electoral results for 6 swing states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, all under the 28.2% fraudulent mail-in ballot scenario and based on raw survey data. And then they went through numerous additional analysis. In scenarios of a 5-4% fraud, each candidate would have received a 5-4% fraud. Each candidate would have gotten 269 electoral college votes. Trump still likely would have won because Republicans controlled more state delegations. And under a tie, Congress would have voted based on the number of delegates. Now, the response and criticism. The president of the National Carolina Election Integrity Team, Jim Womack, his name means nothing to you, but his title, North Carolina Election Integrity Team. He and others have written and saying the survey questions themselves were flawed. That means the survey statistically is meaningless. But he adds, though not without value. And here's a quote from him. This is, again, the National Carolina Election Integrity Team. He said, quote, "We know there was fraud in the 2020 election." That sentence alone should shock you, or at least substantiate your belief. Or have you pulling your hair out and say, not again, not again. Once again, they're claiming election fraud. He said, "We know there was fraud in the 2020 election, but you can't conclude that it was 20% or 10% or even a 5% based on the survey because the questions that could lead to such conclusions were unclear." He said that the questions that were being posed were commingled legal and illegal activity, that it made it impossible to conclude specific percentages. Here's an example. That it's legal and permissible of all states for people who, by reason of blindness, just we went over, to go ahead and get someone else to help fill out the ballot for them. He said, but the wording of one of the survey questions, "During the 2020 election, did you fill out a ballot in part or in full on behalf of a friend or family member, a spouse or a child?" He says that did not differentiate between legal and illegal forms of mailing a ballot in, and 21% said yes. And he says that does not necessarily mean 21% committed voter fraud. And then this other one. "During the 2020 election, did you cast a mail-in ballot in a state where you no longer are a permanent resident?" 17% said yes. But again, he said, there's no support that conclusion that all such cases were illegal. We do know that happens. You're living in one state, and sometime during this year, you move to another state. You might get an election ballot from your old state, and you've already gone and registered in your new state to vote. You got a chance to cast a vote in both places. That has happened for a long time, seriously. The response to the criticism from the Heartland Institute, we stand by our decision. Okay. But now you know both sides. And there's a legitimate question still remaining. When the North Carolina election integrity official said, "We know there was voter fraud," it's a question of how much. Wouldn't you rather have no election fraud? I'm raising my hand. You can too. You can raise both hands. No, not if you're driving. Don't do that. Please don't do it. We'll give you another opportunity. Coming up, I want to take a closer look at this idea that took place with one of the ads in the Super Bowl that some are saying that's blasphemous. And, of course, we have other issues also. So if you thought we're done, no. And do not get out of the car. If you do, carry the app with you on your phone. Don't lose us.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Biden's Treasury Department unable to refute accusations that have put a target on the backs of MAGA Republicans and then track sensitive personal banking information as part of its investigation into January 6th. They search for terms like MAGA and Trump and Cabela's when combing through customer data. Those are the allegations.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen did not deny this surveillance scheme by federal investigators to have banks snoop on their customers' transactions as part of the investigation into January 6th. Remember, Fox News Digital exclusively reported the federal government basically profiled who they thought would be a person of interest, and it came down to people who love to shop at Cabela's, Dick's Sporting Goods, or Bass Pro Shops, who might have purchased religious books. It sounds a lot like most Americans. Those were the red flags investigators wanted banks to look out for, a sign, they said, someone could be a homegrown violent extremist.
Yeah, if you bought a Bass Lure, you're probably a homegrown terrorist, right? It's funny, and yet it's not. Because that is an actual use of one of our agencies right now. It's called FinCEN, for short. Federal Crimes Enforcement Network. And they now have the authority and are carrying it out to go after anything that they think might lead to terrorist operations. Well, may I suggest, FinCEN, rather than looking for money being laundered by cartels, which is one way, thing they do, or Americans buying Bibles, why don't you look into the money that's helping get illegals across the border? And then the groups that are getting paid to provide housing and food and money for them. Why don't you be looking at that? Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is certainly aware of it, but her defense... Her defense, and it's accurate, this was here before I got here. But now you are Treasury Secretary, and it is under your department. You can put a stop to it, say this is a ridiculous witch hunt, and that's what it is. Only I think you'd call it a Trump hunt. and anyone associated with him or might be considered a MAGA. FinCEN execs and analysts and investigators, hear me clearly here. Hear me clearly. I am MAGA. I'm not 100% Trump. I question him. I don't like the fact that he was attacking Nikki Haley's husband over the weekend, saying, "Where is he? They came to see me when I was at Mar-a-Lago, and now where is he now?" He's deployed with his unit. You should have known that, Trump, before you dared ask that question. And then he turns around and calls Nikki a bird brain. Stop it with that stuff. You don't need to do that. Show more class. If Trump were in the room right now, I'd say the same thing to him. Don't think I wouldn't. Those who know me know I would. So for FinCEN, I'll tell you right now, I am MAGA. Make America great again. And everyone listening, I don't care what your political persuasion is, you should want America to be great again. Do we have flaws in the history of our country? Absolutely. Have we made mistakes? Yes. We're still an imperfect union to that extent, but striving to be better. But weaponizing the government against its people is a step in the wrong direction. So you heard the Fox report on how all this kind of began. Now I want you to hear Tennessee Senator Hagerty questioning Janet Yellen, former Fed Reserve chairwoman, now Treasury Secretary.
Last month's revelation that FinCEN, that's a bureau that's under your watch, directed financial institutions to flag customers who demonstrated, quote, extremist indicators, like the words Trump or MAGA, or whether they made transactions to purchase religious books. This time it's not just an IRS contractor doing it. This is the administration itself taking personal data to target its political foes. Secretary Yellen, do you believe that people that purchase Bibles are extremists?
Certainly not. I want to put this matter in perspective. First of all, FinCEN's mission is to safeguard the financial system from illicit use, to combat money laundering, terrorist finance.
Certainly not to target Americans for purchasing Bibles or voting for Donald Trump.
FinCEN is expected to work closely with law enforcement and financial institutions on their money laundering detection programs. And so there are interchanges and conversations between FinCEN and financial institutions.
Blah, 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 blah. She answered the first one. Do you think it's wrong to go after people purchasing Bibles? Absolutely, that shouldn't happen. But what about people who work for or support Donald Trump or MAGA? What about that? She did not answer that question. She starts giving you a long-winded definition of FinCEN. I gave it to you a lot shorter. Federal Crimes Enforcement Network is part of the Justice Department, Treasury Department, and is looking to analyze information about laundering money. It is simple as that. And going after Americans and their purchases, getting into your bank records to look for something that shows you were in a pro bass one day. What'd you buy? Oh, I bought some taffy. I know they've got some in there sometimes. Oh, what were you planning on doing with the taffy? Thought I'd chew it. But then what are you going to do with it? Well, I guess eventually I will, how shall I say, expel it on your FinCEN form. These guys, they have no trouble at all, and they see nothing wrong with constantly looking for an opportunity to weaponize our government. I'll go back to 2013, when we had our rogue agents going after anybody that had MAGA in their name, as they were asking at that point, we need tax-exempt status. Well, you have Tea Party in your name, or you have conservative, or you have Trump, or you have the word Christian. We cannot give you a tax profit status, but you're doing it everybody else that has Biden in their, I mean, Obama in their name or something of that nature, or Planned Parenthood. Obama said at that time, when the word came out that the agency had been targeting conservative groups. Quoting Obama, "I will not tolerate this kind of behavior in any agency. It should not matter what political stripe you're from. The fact of the matter is the IRS has to operate with absolute integrity." Well, tell me it ain't so, but they haven't. Two, quote, rogue employees from Cincinnati were apparently responsible for investigating conservative groups. The same day that news came out, Attorney General Eric Holder was on Capitol Hill being grilled. Questions about triple scandals involving the Obama administration. Benghazi cover-up, with Hillary Benghazi, Clinton in the center of it. Secret gathering of telephone records on reporters and editors at the Associated Press. And now the Associated Press goes more left than right in basic reporting. And the IRS scandal. And the FBI at that time was actually investigating the IRS. Now, isn't that interesting? Talk about a dog chasing its tail. They say it all began at the Cincinnati Tax Exemption Unit. They began screening applications using the search terms Tea Party, 912, and Patriot. Holder was asked, how far up the IRS food chain does this scandal go? And Holder said, again, he's the attorney general, I simply don't know at this stage. We've only begun our investigation. I think it will take us time to determine exactly who is involved. And at that time, House Speaker Boehner, a Republican of Ohio, my question isn't about who's going to resign. My question is who's going to go to jail over this scandal. CBS was even reporting at the time that three top IRS officials were asked repeatedly about reports that Tea Party groups were being targeted. They either denied it or dodged the questions. Louisiana Congressman Bostani said, we've seen nothing but evasion in their testimony. Congressman Lamar Smith at the time of Texas, while Holder was testifying, I'm sure you would agree that when the federal government targets individuals or organizations because of political beliefs, that is a threat to our democracy. Holder's answer, I can assure you and the American people that we will take a dispassionate view on this. Anybody who has broken the law will be held accountable. And I will tell you right now, they were not held accountable. And the greatest proof I have here in front of me right now is the Treasury Secretary cannot say for sure why FinCEN thinks it needs to go look into bank records of anybody who went to buy something at Cabela's or some other sporting goods outfit or buy a Bible. They're still targeting Americans. Now, presidents often would give an interview to follow Super Bowl. We've seen Obama do it. Trump did it. Biden did not do it last year. And when it came to this year, he didn't do that, but he did offer this.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. If you're anything like me, you like to be surrounded by a snack or two while watching the big game. You know, when buying snacks for the game, you might have noticed one thing. Sports drinks bottles are smaller. A bag of chips has fewer chips, but they're still charging it just as much. And as an ice cream lover, what makes me the most angry is that ice cream cartons have actually shrunk in size, but not in price. I've had enough of what they call shrinkflation. It's a ripoff. Some companies are trying to pull a fast one by shrinking the products little by little and hoping you won't notice. Give me a break.
Give me a break. Now, that did not air on any of the networks. That was on his Twitter account. Joe Biden talking about shrinkage. No, wait a minute. Don't get ahead of me. That's not like George in the Seinfeld episode talking about his shrinkage. This is Biden talking about shrinkage. All the packages getting smaller, yet the same price. A dozen eggs only has 11. Well, that's not exactly true, but they'll find other ways around it. Fewer potato chips in the potato bag. Puffed up with air. Then, actually, during the Super Bowl, which, by the way, Biden was simply trying to explain away and ignore inflation, which is cost, making everything cost more. So maybe the companies are looking at trying to make more money during this time, and the only way to do it is save some of the goodies for another bag. And, of course, the administration says inflation isn't that high, really. It's not getting, it's not rising rapidly, but it's rising. Food prices, gas prices, are still going up more than anyone's gotten a raise to that level. Now, also during the Super Bowl last night, the group known as Jesus Gets Us, which was founded basically in 2022 under a different name, ran a commercial. If you were watching, you probably sat there and just got taken in by it. I did, and I understood the meaning of it. But there are those, Christians included, that did not like it, that consider it blasphemous. The ad was to highlight a campaign, He Gets Us, to remind everyone that Jesus' teachings are a warm embrace, not a cold shoulder. That's what they put up on their website. There are a total of 12 scenes of one individual washing someone else's feet. Most appear to be white people doing the washing. One minority is washing a white man's feet. Some even seem to be telling white Christians not to be bigoted. And one features a white priest washing the feet of what appears to be a member of the LGBT community. Still another shows an older white woman washing the feet of a scowling young woman outside a family planning clinic. Pro-life protesters in the background. Now, the story of Jesus washing feet goes to John, the book of John, where he washes the feet of his disciples. And in fact, when he goes to with some of his disciples to a house, the woman with the long hair takes her perfume jar, which is extremely expensive then, breaks it open and puts it on his feet and washes Jesus' feet with her hair. And even his disciples were upset over that. Why would she waste that? And he chastised them for doing it. Well, many watching on the social media response was they called the ad blasphemous and didn't actually represent the lesson Jesus was attempting to show. Well, I disagree, but you're entitled to your opinion. They say it was purposely engineered to be a scolding attack mostly on white people. It was racist. It wasn't. And also pushing a left-wing narrative. I don't think any left-wing group came forward with the idea of let's do He Gets Us Jesus washing people's feet. It's from the Bible, not from a left-wing thought tank. Many others, of course, said, why'd you spend $7 million on that commercial when you could have spent it to help the poor? Well, a commercial of that type, think of the millions it reached. Maybe it will help indirectly. Who knows? God finds a way. I personally liked it. I like all that He Gets Us, pointing out that we can be enemies, and yet, why be an enemy if you can be a friend or at least accept the values of someone else as long as they're not molesting and hurting children and killing and all the other commandments? And we close, as always, reminding you of our pledge, one nation under God.